All right, everybody, and welcome to.
Teller the Tales.
Oh, yeah.
Pokemon edition. Oh love Pokemon.
I have to admit, Pokemon, out of all the stuff that we have done throughout, I want to say throughout all of time, throughout all of the age, it's like Yu-Gi-Oh! Just doesn't get old. I don't know why. There's
Pokemon's better than Yu-Gi-Oh.
something out there that brings us to Pokemon every single time.
Pokemon is amazing. It's timeless. It never.
But you,
It has so much adaptability and stability, and it is just fantastic.
I
How could
know.
you say no to that little Eevee? How could you
It's just the fact
say no?
it's like these game we play these Pokemon games and all that stuff. And yet, though, it's like they're the most common basic games, and yet they're the most fun games you could ever play. Yeah, I went there.
I like Pokemon.
And I think everyone likes Pokemon. So that
No, there's
was.
some people I've met who hated it, and it makes me sad.
Yes, I know a few people who hate Pokemon too, but that's neither here nor there. All right, so I'm excited to listen to some Pokemon.
I am too.
Yay! All right, so let's get this started off with the artichoke.
Take it away.
It was another fine day in the Kokiri Forest, and everybody was happy. Well, everybody except Celebi, since he was dying. This kind of sucked, since he was the guardian spirit of the forest and responsible for everyone who lived there. So, after he couldn't deny his fate any longer, he called for his closest friend, by which I mean the only person in the whole forest who could tolerate his presence.
Togetic! Togetic, where are you?
No answer.
Togetic, please, I need you!
No answer.
Togetic, get your spotted ass down here!
Mom, I'm telling you for the last time, do not marry the guy,
came a voice from high up in the trees.
At least find out what that smell coming from his trunk is. Oh, sorry, I'm going to have to call you back.
There was the sound of a cell phone clicking shut, and Togetic came floating down.
Okay, see, this better be important.
Togetic, my dear friend, listen to my words. The words of the great Celebi.
You know I hate it when you refer to yourself in the third person like that. Now what's the problem?
Togetic, I'm going to be frank. I'm dying.
Well, I told you to lay off the drugs, you know.
That's not why I'm dying, Dum Dum Pop. An evil Pokemon of the desert has placed a terrible curse on me.
Well, that sucks. Too bad Togetics are completely useless, and therefore I can't do a thing about it.
No argument there. So I need you to find someone who can help. It seems the time has come for the oddly colored Pichu to begin his journey.
The oddly colored Pichu?
Yes, Togetic, we only have one oddly colored Pichu. Now just go get him, okay?
I don't know, C. I'm pretty tired of taking crap from you. What if I don't want to?
I'll show everybody that embarrassing picture of you getting drunk and dancing to Rick Astley at the Christmas party.
I'm on it.
Togetic really hated living in the Kokiri Forest. Apart from Celebi, there were also all the overly cheerful grass types who lived there. Being the only flying type made it difficult, and being an extremely cranky flying type made it just plain annoying.
Hello there,
Called up a Chikorita as she flew past.
screw you.
She called back down. Finally, she arrived at the house Celebi had mentioned. Flying up to the window and peering in, she saw somebody curled up asleep on a bed. He was indeed oddly colored. All the places where Pichus were normally black, his ears, his collar, his tail, he was forest green instead, and his cheeks were light green rather than pink.
Can the fate of Hyrule really depend on such an oddly colored Pichu?
Togetic wondered to herself.
Well, I guess I'd better get this over with.
She slowly backed up and then charged straight through the window, only to crash through the glass she hadn't realized was there, and land on the floor in a twitching bloody heap. Pichu woke up very quickly.
What the? Who the hell are you?
He cried.
I don't suppose you have any antiseptic?
Togetic groaned as she sat up and pulled the glass out of herself.
Anyway, my name's Togetic. Are you here to be my friend? What? For the love of no! I'm only here because Celebi sent me. He says he wants to see you. Celebi wants to see me?
Pichu squealed in delight, prancing joyfully around the room and only stopping when Togetic grabbed him by his head.
Don't do that. Oh, and there's one more thing. Not that I care or anything, but Celebi says you've been feeling unhappy lately.
Pichu's ears dropped.
Well, yes, he admitted. I'm already 10 years old and I haven't learned a single grass attack.
He looked up at Togetic hopelessly.
But I must be a grass type because I'm living here in Kokiri Forest, isn't that right? Sure, whatever. Anyway, he told me to give you this.
She pulled out a very large, razor-edged leaf and stuffed it into his hands.
What's this thing? It's a leaf from the Great Deku Tree, genius! Now you can use Leaf Blade! OMG, no way!
Pichu shrieked in delight, throwing his arms around Togetic and squeezing the life out of her.
Thank you so much! Thank you, 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 thank you! I don't get paid enough for this,
Togetic groaned. Pichu came scampering out of his house, unable to contain his excitement, with Togetic slowly and reluctantly following behind him.
This is so exciting! I can't wait to show everybody! They'll all be so jealous I could finally— Whoa!
He screamed as he fell off the 20-foot-high platform his house was on and landed squarely on his head.
Where am I?
He said faintly.
Hey, keep doing that! If you get massive enough brain damage, maybe you'll die and I won't have to do anything! Pichu! Pichu!
Came an excited voice from up ahead. Pichu and Togetic both turned around to see Pichu's best, and probably only, friend Leafeon running toward them. Like Pichu, she was just a kid, and so was very small for her evolutionary level.
Good morning, Pichu. Did you fall out of your house again? It's my job to ask, since I have to make sure you don't get too much brain trauma, and hey, who's that?
Pichu hugged Togetic again.
This is my new friend Togetic. Let go, or I'll kill you in your sleep.
Oh, and look what you gave me, Pichu said to Leafeon, pulling out his leaf and swinging it demonstratively.
Leaf Blade, uh-oh!
Pichu's Leaf Blade went flying out of his hands, and a chorus of screams went up as it painfully slashed through a large group of people standing 20 feet away.
My brains!
Shrieked an unfortunate Oddish.
That's great, Pichu,
Leafeon giggled.
You're a true grass type now. If you weren't so fat and ugly, I'd consider going out with you.
Isn't she the greatest? Pichu said dreamily to Togetic.
Yeah, Pichu. Now can we please get going? The longer we stay here, the more I want to stab my eyes out.
Pichu geekily waved goodbye to Leafeon as Togetic dragged him across the forest towards the entrance to Celebi's Grove. Unfortunately for Togetic's already minimal patience, along the way they were bombarded by the greetings of the famously friendly grass types.
Hey Pichu, do you know how to Z-target?
Said a Bulbasaur.
Doing backflips is fun, don't you think?
Said a Hoppip.
Do you have any spare change? Said a Roselia.
Would you all freaking leave me alone?
Togetic finally screamed, spinning around to face them and karate chopping them into unconsciousness.
Was that really necessary? Pichu asked meekly. Completely. Okay, Celebi's Grove is just over this way and— Oh, great. Do I have to karate chop somebody else?
I wouldn't,
Pichu replied worriedly. The person standing with his arms folded in front of the entrance, barring their way, was Trico, the leader of the grass types.
Just what do you think you're doing, Pichu? He said insufferably. Are you trying to see Celebi? You know he doesn't like fat people.
She said I have to,
Pichu pointed timidly at Togetic.
Oh no, you're not dragging me into this.
Don't be an idiot. Why would he ever want to see you? You're useless. You don't even know any grass attacks.
Trico snapped at him.
That's not true. Watch this.
Pichu used Leaf Blade.
Okay, that was impressive, Trico conceded
once he had pulled the leaf out of his forehead.
But I'm still not going to let you pass.
Why not?
Because I'm just a heel like that.
All right, I've had enough of this.
Togetic said decisively, shoving Pichu aside and facing Trico.
Hey, lizard boy, I've got a riddle for you. What's black and green and red all over?
Trico looked confused and impatient.
I don't know, what?
Your face after I do this,
said Togetic, slugging him squarely between the eyes.
Wow, Team Money, that was really cool,
Pichu remarked as he climbed over Trico's mangled body and followed her down the path.
Can I call you that, Team Money? If you do, I will make every waking moment of your existence a torrent of pain and suffering. T-Money it is!
Alright, so the artichoke.
Dun, dun, dun.
This was actually really good. I enjoyed it. I thought all your characterization was really good, and, you know, everything else was just really good today. It was just, everything was just spot on. Livy?
I agree with Zane. I mean, this was a really pleasurable to listen to. I really enjoyed it. I like the crossover between Legend of Zelda and Pokemon. little bit of pronunciation issues on Togetic, like, every now and then. I think you slipped it up. But, I mean, like, Pokemon names can be hard to pronounce anyway. I like the voices, and I thought that the story fit you really well. So, good job.
Yeah. All right. All right, so up next we have Beloved Star.
Woo!
A beautiful day in the Yagami region. In Emergrove Town, young Tenma Tsukamoto is about to embark on her Pokemon journey to defeat the regional champion, Ooji Kurosuma, in hopes that he will be impressed and fall in love with her. Her younger sister, Yakumo, is too young to stay by herself at home, so Tenma decides to let her come with her and her three friends, Eri, who wants to become the world's top coordinator, Mikoto, who also wants to defeat Kurosuma so her parents will be proud, and Akira, who wants to help the professor with his Pokemon research. They make their way to his lab to get their starter Pokemon.
I'm so excited! I don't know which one to choose! Tenma said, looking at a brochure of the starter Pokemon. All 15 of these are so cute!
Well, each of them is divided into three types. Fire, grass, and water. Each stronger than the other, Akira stated. So it is a difficult choice. They arrived at the lab.
You're late and you're lucky that I have enough Pokemon for you, Professor Hayato said.
Noticing Yakumo, he said. I thought it was only just you four. Or is it because that's her Pokemon? He said, pointing to Lori, her Purloin.
Oh no, Yakumo is still too young to start on her own journey, and Lori is just a wild Purloin that seems to like following her around, Tenma said, answering his question.
Well, these are the last four starters I have left. He threw four Pokeballs into the air. They opened and four small Pokemon appeared. Professor Hayato introduced them in order by types. For the grass type, I have Bulbasaur and Chikorita. For the water type, I have Oshawott. And for the fire type, I have Chimchar. Tenma, why don't you choose first? Tenma picked up the Chikorita.
This one! Out of these four, this one is just the cutest!
Yeah, right, Tenma. Cute won't help you defeat the champion. Or even me, said Mikoto.
I choose you, Chimchar.
Chimchar squeaked cheerfully and climbed up to sit on Mikoto's shoulder.
Is that so, Mikoto? Well, for your information, my Chikorita and I will kick your and your Pokemon's butt,
Tenma responded with a challenge in her eyes.
Well, since you're too busy with your rivalry, I'll just take this even cuter one,
Eri said as she picked up the Oshawott.
The judges will just eat her up when they see her preform.
Tenma looked confused.
How do you know if it's a girl?
Besides looking it up on the Pokedex, you can tell the gender difference just by looking at your Pokemon's face and body, Akira answered. Professor Hayato, impressed with Akira's observation, agreed.
That's correct, Akira.
Here. He handed the four girls something. These are your Pokedex and Pokeballs. Please note that you can only carry six Pokemon at a time, but don't be afraid to call me any time to switch.
Sure thing, Professor, Tenma said, looking at her Pokedex. Professor? Are these the only Pokeballs to catch Pokemon, or are there more?
Yes, Tenma, there are more. You can look for them at Pokemarts, or at varieties of other stores. I do, however, have one special ball. He started to look through one of his cabinets. A few seconds later, he pulled out a blue ball with yellow stripes.
Here it is. This is a quick ball. Unlike the standard Pokeball, this ball is best used when you unexpectedly encounter a wild Pokemon. Though the longer you wait, the harder it will be to use the quick ball.
That was a good question, considering that you're going to need more than just one Pokeball. Buy different ones and test them out wherever you go. And here, he handed Tenma the quick ball. An extra gift for asking an excellent question. Later, at the edge of Emergrove Town.
Hey, now that we have our Pokemon, let's have a battle, Mikoto said excitedly.
Okay, Mikoto, Eri said. Me versus Tenma, and Mikoto versus Akira. Yakumo, can you referee?
Yakumo nodded her head in agreement, as well as everyone else.
What is she up to? Doesn't she know that water Pokemon are weak against grass Pokemon?
Tenma thought to herself. Tenma was on one side of a large field, and Eri was on the other, with Yakumo in the middle.
This is a one-on-one match between Eri Sawachika and Tenma Tsukamoto. Begin the match! Chikorita, I choose you!
Tenma yelled, throwing her Pokeball. Her Chikorita was ready for battle.
Oshawott, take the stage!
Eri said, throwing her Pokeball. Her Oshawott emerged with a flourish.
All right, let's start this with Razor Leaf!
Chikorita repeatedly threw sharp blades at the Oshawott.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be over with just the first move! Don't underestimate me, Tenma! Oshawott, dodge it and use Ice Beam!
Just in time, Oshawott jumped up, avoiding the razor leaf, then launched a beam of ice at Chikorita. Tenma told her Pokémon to dodge the attack, and was successful. Both Pokémon returned to their trainer's side, waiting for the next command. Eri pulled out a light blue disc. This TM helped my Oshawott learn Ice Beam. Just a small gift from my father. In the bushes not far away, a male trainer named Kenji Harima sat watching the battle with his two Pokémon, a Tepig and a Girafarig. Harima had a crush on Tenma since they were 5 years old, and now after 10 years, hoped to use his Pokémon journey as an opportunity to confess his love to her. He thought aloud, "Oh my god, she's gonna lose. Tenma is gonna lose her first match."
Beloved star! Oh my gosh, I know you're like really worried about pronouncing Pokemon names correctly, but I think you did a pretty darn good job. I liked it. I thought that you did the voices pretty darn well, and I think you had a little bit of trouble with the Japanese names, but other than that, you didn't have a problem with the Pokemon names. It was more of the character names, but other than that, you were good, my book.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to admit, I laughed hysterically, especially when this was a School Rumble fan fiction. I have to admit that I absolutely loved School Rumble. I thought it was one of the most funniest things I've ever seen in my life. And I want to say this fan fiction really caught the essence of a little bit what School Rumble was. And you know what? I absolutely love it. I loved all your voices to this thing. And just everything was just really good. I've got nothing bad to say about it. It was just good. You, Livy, anything else you want to say? Anything else?
Nothing else.
Okay, Then guess who's up next? Up next we have the one and only Temporary Butterfly. Yes.
Take it away.
Summer is hot. Chapter 1, second hottest day. Well, hello everyone! This is my newest Pocus Puff fic that just popped in my head randomly. I just wanted to work on a Pocus Puff Christmas fic, but then I remembered it's only August. And so I created a summer story instead, and black and white are included for the very first time. Isn't that wonderful? Well, let's begin. Do the disclaimer, everyone. Aqua Miyoki doesn't own anything. Well, except the plot. Summer is hot. It was hot. Very, very, very hot. So hot that all trainers who carried the Pokemon called Vanillite, Vanillish, and Vanilluxe got out in the open and suffered the consequences of, you know, melted ice cream. Don't worry, the Pokemon regained their original forms once put in the cold space. But yeah, it was that hot. After all, it was the second hottest day in the history of Kanto. I don't think I need to explain about the hottest day ever. That, or I'm too lazy to. Anyways, the Dex owners were hanging out in Red's house, which is surprisingly not a mansion, seeing that he's a famous champion and is most likely rich from all the battles he's won. It was a nicely sized house. 3 floors, 4 rooms, giant recreation space, etc. Let's get on with the story, shall we? Ruby wasn't exactly what you would call cheerful today. His clothes were sticky and disgusting, he had no extra clothes to change into, his Pokemon were looking unfabulous, and worst of all, can't stand the heat, beauty queen! Yeah, you guessed it. Sapphire was annoying the hell out of him. Shut it, Saf, you're sweating as much as I am. Red walked into the room. Sorry, guys, I can't fix the AC. Peek is all worn out from the heat. God damn it, Pikachu! Silver yelled, banging his head on the wall. Everyone stared at him in silence. Silver glared. What? So hot! Diamond whined as he leaned exhaustedly on the kitchen table. Pearl beside him just groaned in response. Platinum was consecutively fanning herself with the fan she had brought with her. From the couch, Green narrowed his eyes at Red. Please remind me why you don't seem to have any source of cooling such as electric fans when we live in one of the most human towns in Kanto? Well, I don't stay at home much, so... Red trailed off, Green face-palmed. Why am I not surprised? Come on, guys, said Chris. Calm down. It is the hottest, second hottest, Black interrupted. Chris narrowed her eyes. Yes, the second hottest day in the history of Kanto. You should have seen this coming. Emerald jumped on a chair. "Eyes and Jeffy, go somewhere else!" he exclaimed before the chair underneath him collapsed. "Ow! What the hell?" Gold laughed at him. "Ha ha ha! Emerald, you're fat!" He then proceeded to run away from the angry elf, only for the wild chase to end once both of them collapsed to the ground, feeling lightheaded from the heat. On the other side of the room, Ruby and Sapphire were mysteriously competing in a game of pin the tail on the mouth out of boredom. Yes, Red has a board on his living room wall of that game. Don't ask why. Of course, blindfolds were covering their eyes. "Where the heck is that frickin' board?" Sapphire snapped, walking in the direction of the kitchen. "I can't find it, Ruby failed to say, ending up tripping on his own 2 feet, falling face flat on the floor. "Ha!" said Black. "Now that's what I call a fall." "Black, don't be mean," White scolded as she helped Ruby up. "Oh, but I completely agree with Black Coon," says Silver. "They're both the most utter failures in the history of all time." "Silver, are you okay?" Blue asked him worriedly. "Whatever are you talking about, Miss Sissy? Did you know that I had blue hair?" Silence. Gold started laughing hysterically for some random reason. Then Silver reached for his cup to drink some of the greenest beverage inside. Crystal snatched the cup away from him. "Ah!" the traitor screamed, almost in agony. "What are you doing to my drink?" As Chris ignored the cries of her fellow desk's owner, she turned to Yellow. "What is this drink contained?" The senior scanned the contents of the bottle. "It's all the normal ingredients. Wait. Cacturn juice!" she exclaimed. The horror of how to get that juice from the poor Pokemon in the first place lingered in her mind. "What? Why in the name of Mew do you have this in your house, Red?" Blue shrieked while shaking the bottle at Red's face. "Look what you've done to Silver! I don't know, I swear, I didn't even know Cacturn juice existed!" the champion defended himself. "Then who did this?" Blue continued to shriek, pointing at her little brother. The mentioned boy was staring at the ceiling with a goofy grin that gave everyone the creeps plastered on his face. Stupidly enough, Black and Emerald glanced at the ceiling as well, wondering what was so interesting. Just then, the sound of the door closing echoed through the room. Suspiciously, Green looked around the room to see who was missing from the group. That person was obviously the culprit of the Cacturn juice. After realizing who the culprit was, Green sighed. "Of course. I definitely saw this one coming. That idiot!" Having realized who the culprit was as well, some certain Dex owners rushed outside in pursuit of this devious person who scrambled up Silver's brain. To be continued. ... Author's note. "Uh-oh, who's the culprit? Though it's pretty obvious. I like reviews. Who doesn't? Review, please!"
Alright, so Temporary Butterfly. Now, this one was interesting. And, it wasn't bad, don't get me wrong on that one. But you had so many characters in there, but yet though very little to no characterization. Like, different characters, like changing your voice up a little bit here and there. But other than that, you had really good energy. You had, like, most of the time we're picking on you because of your energy. And it's like, this week you had, like, crap loads of energy. Your energy was amazing. And even though you didn't have that many characterizations going on there, it still made it interesting to listen to. So, yeah, that's all I have to say. Livy?
I have to agree with Zane. You did have a lot of energy this week. However, I felt that your story suffered from lack of characterization. I think you're just really overwhelmed with all the characters that were there. And that's kind of sad because I really do enjoy the Pokemon Adventure team. But, I mean, you know what happens, so... other than that, good job. Zane kind of said most of the stuff I was going to say anyway, so...
I'm sorry.
Yep, you should be.
Alright, so that means the last person up tonight is Stratofarious.
A Pokemon episode in theory. Written by Ned the Janitor. Once upon a time in the land of Poke-Earth, Ash Ketchum, get it, funny pun, because he catches little Pokemon things and shit, Misty Waterflower, because she uses watery Pokemons, and Brock Sensum, okay, let's just go with Stone, because he likes Pokerocks, Because I can't find the last name anywhere, and besides, that would make his dad's name Flint Stone. If you don't get the joke, then you're beyond my help. Anyway, these three are up and about as productive as you can imagine, especially Pikachu, Ash's annoying little companion, who often shouts his own name for no important reason, and, on a semi-regular basis, shoots millions of volts of pure piss yellow electricity throughout Ash's entire body. Alright? Ash's entire body. Ash is still very much alive, but very much retarded, but I don't think he needed Pikachu's shock treatment for that. Missy's little companion, Togepi, is pretty much the same way, only it can't shoot thunder and be yellow, so it's completely fucking useless. But at least it's safe for petting and snuggling and all that usually shit that girly girls like Misery are bound to do. Seriously, he does nothing else in the fucking show. Oh, and to top it all off with a perfect topping of shit, both Pikachu and Togepi are allergic to Ritalin, so Ash and company are just plain old shit out of luck. I feel bad for them, but they're too oblivious, Rita's dumb, to realize how brain-melting irritating that name-repeating shit gets on a daily basis. But honestly, if I could name my pet and the pet repeated the name it gave it in different inflections and variations for the rest of its life, that would be some fun. I'd probably name it something crazy like, "Hey asshole, make me some pancakes." And then I'd be like, "Okay, good boy." Where was I? Alright, Pokemon. Okay, so now Brock is up making food while Ash and Misty are having a polite discussion. I mean, arguing obnoxiously about what direction to go in so they can get to the next town. Yee-haw! Won't you just feel the tension, everybody? By the way, Ash and Misty are both wrong, but they always go in Ash's direction, which is significantly more wrong than Misty's direction. Why Ash's direction, you ask? Because he's the Pokemon Master! Duh! Bow before him, all you perfectly insignificant fools! Anyway, the group eats to its heart's content once Brock's bind ass gets finished cooking, especially Ash, who eats roughly the same amount as a herd of elephants with 8 stomachs per stomach. Now that the group is finished sitting absolutely still and wasting your time watching Ash graze like a damn animal and talking about nothing, they took to doing what they were second best at besides pissing me off, walking aimlessly, stumbling upon random shit. But if you ask them, they're just going towards some city with some gym that uses some type of Pokemon and offer some badge. To be honest, it really doesn't matter much. Everyone knows Ash is just gonna win anyway because he's the Pokemon Master. And you better not forget it, you little poser bitch. Okay, so halfway to wherever European hobble they're going toward by taking Ash's path, Mrs. Little Level Bitchicity goes into Maximum Overdrive, also known as PMS! Maximum Overdrive Misty, with the help of her Maximum Bleeding Vagina, goes and picks another meaningless air-shattering argument with Ash that ends with Ash being pulverized with a huge hammer Misty hides in God knows where. Brock would normally do something about it, other than try to talk calmly to them, but he can't, because he's 100% incapable of seeing. Let me explain. In the cartoon, it may look like he can see, but they're only cleverly editing out all the shots where Brock runs into something, which is hard because it happens like every 12 seconds. You may ask, but Strat, if he can see them, how come he's always able to see how pretty girls are? Simple. He can smell them, and his mind creates an outline of what they look like. Or something like that. Okay, look, just look at him. His eyes are lines. No evidence can support any theory that he can see out of the damn things. He's blind. Horribly blind. Got it? Good. Oh, picking up where he left off, which was in the middle of absolutely fucking nowhere, the group is still walking about, and at this point, any normal group of people would be getting mauled by bears, or Jason Voorhees, or bears wearing hockey masks and hoodie machetes and repeating "Jesus for Jesus" in a loud, squeaky voice eternally. Oh, but not this little group of heroes. We can only thank PokeGod for how lucky we are. But just as they're about to reach an untimely death from starvation and exposure to the elements, oh my God, who should appear but the infamous commercial break? Da do da do da do da do da do da da. Da-do, 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 da. Okay, back. Who should appear but some samey-looking anime chick with some screw-up Pokemon that Ash and company had not seen before this particular episode. Ash, Misty, and Brock stare dumbly at the girl for, I don't know, about 20 seconds. Anyway, Brock finally breaks the awkward silence by asking the girl if she will bear his children. Wait, Wrong show. He uses a bunch of retarded Pokemon-based puns. My loins are on fire like the tail of a Charizard comes to mind. Seriously, he compared his newfound love to some girl to the burning flame of a Charizard in one episode. Think about that. Think about what would happen if you said that to a girl in real life. Oh wait, you can't, because your brain has an aneurysm and shuts off every time you even think about it, or heaven forbid, consider it. So he swoons, the girl just sort of blinks at him like a deer in the headlights before Misty pulls his retarded ass away and Ash, with his smooth-talking Barry White motherfucker compared to Brock, goes and talks to her. No one knows why Misty always the one to pull Brock away, I mean, it's not like he's hurting her feelings or anything. I think Misty has a thing for him. And all the Ash-Misty shippers can bite me. I think Ash slash May is a much better couple and, wait, what the hell am I even talking about? Anyhow, the girl introduces herself, having a name stupider than, let's say, a Final Fantasy character. Don't get the wrong idea about me, I really like Final Fantasy, but their names are just stupid. Let's just say her name is Duncan. Duncan has a really bad Pokemon. We're talking pure grade shit here. The kind of animal that not even Peter cares about. Ash takes out his trusty Pokedex. Dexter, what is this Pokemon? Ash asks the handheld machine.
How should I know? The Pokedex barks back. Get out of my laboratory!
After getting the Pokedex to accidentally blow up on his phone advantages in the process of getting him to not press the button to find out what it does, it tells Ash what he wants to know about the dying Pokemon owned by Duncan. So instead of putting this cursed animal of its misery, like good old Peter would do, Ash proposes to train it, read as, make it do a bunch of stupid stunts, until it's at level 2 and is capable of taking a breath without expecting 2 episodes worth of suspense. Believe me, it happened. But as our heroes are attempting to train the genetic offense to God, Team Suckit, I mean Rocket, are watching from a bush. The dialogue is generally as follows.
Look, it's a Twerps with a Pikachu. Let's deal it with some off-the-wall capture contraption that we can afford for some reason, even if we're always whining about not having money for food, spoke Jess, the girl.
I'm hungry. I sure wish I had left my rich home to go on wacky adventures with a smart-ass cat and a bitchy broad, whined James, the girlier.
I say we swipe it as it's a big shockproof, even though Ash has an entire team of other types of Pokemon at his disposal to wipe the floor with our one-note asses, planned Meowth off the gangster cat.
Don't try to make sense out of that characterization, by the way. I tried to, and now I'm broke and hungry, and Cthulhu's coming for me. Oh my god, here it comes!
Sorry.
So the Goon Squad goes off to green themselves against a tree like the stupid drones they are, managing to craft a massively large complex machine solely built for the catching one fucking Pokemon in the process. Meanwhile, a montage display that shows the world's worthless Pokemon quickly becoming a slightly less worthless Pokemon. Yeah, you can see where this is going, can't you? But I'm going to make you wait for it because I'm trying to write a goddamn story here! Okay. So Ash's group and the girl are taking a break from the grueling training, which probably involves a punching bag and a snorkel. Brock cooks something up using nothing except Scratch, even though I have previously noted that Brock can't see his own fucking hands, much less a bunch of ingredients for a great meal. And everyone takes at least 40 precious fucking seconds so they can emphasize how great Brock is at cooking. Okay. Now, they actually have a discussion about something semi-important, read the capital gain stacks. The girl somehow brings the discussion to how the Pokemon got to be so worthless. It may or may not be Team Rocket-oriented, I'll leave that one up to you. But the girl's story is set by children's cartoon standards, so it probably involved the girl getting a stubbed toe. And then she runs away. It makes more sense every time you listen to it, trust me. So, after a much not-needed break, some hilarity ensues when the Pokemon gathers some kind of freak strength and hurls the punching bag at Brock, first knocking him the hell out. As the guys finally train the Pokemon to the point where it can sustain its own miserable life, who should come rippling out of the gruesome shadows like a rancid fart from a Pokemon fanboy, but the commercial break cause I need a glass of water. Badu 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 bow. Okay, I'm back. Team Rocket jumps out of the shadows, but they're in disguise. And by disguise, I mean wearing clothes that they don't normally wear. Of course, the stupid retards that we have to call our heroes are totally fooled by Team Rocket's transport attempt. Unfortunately,
someone mentions the word trouble, and being as brilliant as they are in the art of being conspicuous, they enter into their idiotic motto that goes a little something like this. Prepare for trouble, Jesse begins.
I have caveman stubble, continues James.
To protect the world from devastation.
To inquire embarrassingly about masturbation.
To denounce the evils of truth and love.
Doctors like to assault you with a glove.
Jesse!
Jackson!
Team Rocket, blast off at the speed of light!
This motto sucks with all of its might!
Meow! I concur!
Meowth jumps out like a stubborn people and ends the speech thunderously.
Ash says, Team Rocket! As he's surprised they showed up again to catch his Pikachu info, he's probably seen them more than his own mother at this point.
And the battle begins! And by battle, I mean both groups trying to command to their Pokemon and watching them do it to each other. Oh, get your minds out of the girl, please. At last, after 12 long seconds, Team Rocket's girly Pokemon lose and they resort to a huge machine that is shockproof, fireproof, waterproof, and most importantly, since this is a world full of various untamed creatures, pissproof. They believe they're triumphant, but they aren't. Not even by a long shot. Wanna know why?
Because Ash and his friends are sweet, innocent, lovely, friendly, caring, and helpful, goddammit!
But most importantly, they are the main characters, and you better believe it, they can get out of any ridiculous situation. No matter how hopeless it will be in reality, it's a piece of cake in the Pokemon world. Whereas Team Rocket are cheap, lying, no good, rotten, flower-flourishing, dirty, evil-kidding, killing, baby-choking, racist scoundrel, scrooges who can honestly care less about saving anybody, and will most likely spend the rest of their lives writing for some stupid fanfiction website, they will lose. It's in their nature, in their instinct to do so. Villains of their statue, in a similar manner to Emperor Pillar from Dragon Ball, have a way of snatching defeat from the jaws of victory that is consistently impressive to the discerning spectator. Again, I digress. Okay, let's recap. Ash Ketchup and his three-ring circus are getting royally pounded and Team Rocket are the poundies. They are getting pounded beyond most people's ability to comprehend with all the Dragon Ball Z footage in the known universe. I mean, pounded worse than the communists who played the American in chess so many decades ago.
Them communists are everywhere!
The battle wages on and on and on and on and on and on and on. These things take time. And it quickly becomes apparent that there is no way, no fucking way that Ash and company are gonna win, because Team Rocket will not go more than about 5 or 10 or 2 seconds or remind the denial-ridden Ash group and their barely standing Pokemon that is completely, utterly, and obviously hopeless, and they should just give up any dreams of winning and should give up all the Pokemon and go to the small shitter of a village known as Pillar Town and live out the rest of their worthless, meaningless, 12 lives and factory workers making 12 bucks a week and not even wanting a toilet. But they won't, because aside from all the reasons that I have already listed above, they are totally stupid as hell, as Meatwald would so eloquently put it. So at this point, the good guys have pretty much used each of their Pokemon at least 4 times, but they still aren't admitting defeat. Because really, where would the show go after that? Nowhere. It would end up in TV hell like Robot Jones and the Shobi Show. But I digress. Now at last, Team Rocket have beat down the good guys so badly that they are finally starting to feel like it might actually not work out. There's a glimmer of not hope in their boundless enthusiasm. But then, Duncan, with her half-dead, half-dying Pokemon, shows up, declaring that her precious Fluffykins is going to single-handedly destroy a pissed state of the art anti-Pokemon technology being operated by 2 dangerous, if totally fucking stupid, criminals. This is too much stupidity for even our heroes to take. They ask her if she's crazy, and she responds with, "Why, of course I am! My dad named me Duncan, for God's sake! But I want to help!" Before the stupids, both of the groups, can respond, Duncan's Pokemon experiences a powerful surge of strength, and does, what I can estimate, is the equivalent of an atomic bomb punch, and completely totals Team Rocket's gadget, making them blast off. Then they say their goodbyes, and Ash and company are back on the road again. They all live happily ever after, with Zombie Ladder is arrested, and unicorns are found!
Yay!
Not the ending you wanted to see. Me neither, but it had to be done. I'm a realist, folks. I'm not a wish granter. If I could have my way, these guys would all have been taken out in a freak nuclear explosion in the Hito battle just because I know the comedic timing that caused riots in the streets by disgruntled Pokemon fanboys. The end? Why, yes! Yes, it is!
Wait, am I starting?
Yes.
Okay, Alright, this was long, this is half of what a regular Pokemon episode was. And for me, it wasn't really a story. It was a rant, a really, really, really long rant. And I just think it was really poor story selection on your part. I mean, I know you really, I could tell you were really trying to work the material. I could tell that you were putting a lot of effort into it. Your voices were pretty all right, but it just, the length really killed you, along with the just it not being a story. And I think we had this problem last week. You ended up doing kind of more of a radio drama. This time you kind of just did a rant. Yeah, this did not impress me whatsoever. I'm sorry. Zane?
Yeah, I have to admit, this was long. This was just like, it was so long. I could have dealt with this for like, you know, for probably about maybe 5 minutes and then cut it off. And then that would have been actually pretty good. But because you went like the whole 15 minutes, that took four. It really did seem to drag. Even though, as Olivia said, you put a lot of effort into it and you put a lot of work into it.
Too. It was so sad.
Yeah.
It did not work for me.
Yeah, you just tried. Oh. You tried to do something. You tried to, I think, honestly, you tried to take a risk, and the risk
didn't pay off.
Yeah. I'm going to say the risk actually did not pay off as well as it should have.
Oh, goodness, no. It was not so you
never know. You never know. I've got nothing else left. You, Livy?
No.
All right, coming up next is the dreaded results.
Why is it always dreaded?
I don't know. To build up tension.
We have to have tension?
Fine. Results is up next. With non-dreaded tension. Alright, everybody, we're back with the results.
Yes, and we do have something to admit.
Yes.
This week we did have two drops. However, we are still eliminating someone.
Due to the fact that the matter is that by the end of this month, Olivia's going to be leaving, and we do not want to extend this any further out as possible without...
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily that. I mean, part of it is because once I leave for Japan, I'm going to be very hard pressed to find time for recording, and I'm going to be at a 9-hour time difference, so scheduling recording is going to be also pretty tough.
You ain't kidding. That's just a nightmare in and of itself.
Yeah, but the biggest thing for me and the reason why I decided I wanted someone to be eliminated tonight was because I felt that despite we have had two drops this week, I feel that the show must go on and that, you know, you all put yourselves out on the line tonight. And I think that, you know, we kind of need to keep things as normal as possible.
Yep. I agree with you on that. So do you want to announce the winner for this week?
Yeah, totally. The winner was the artichoke. You were fantastic today. I really enjoyed your story. I could just really tell you had a lot of fun with it. And you just seem to have been really improving each week. So you totally did this. So you know the drill. 24 hours. Get that theme in. Or else
Wait, didn't he win it last week? I think.
Yeah, he did.
Dang. So he's on a roll now. So
he's kind of coming up.
Also, this week is the last week that you will be able to pick the what you're going to be doing.
Yeah, because next week is
top three before the finale.
Top three and a semifinal. Oh yeah, the finale is the top three.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, you guys are all growing up.
All right, so right now I'm going to announce the bottom two. So, if you're not in this bottom two, you are safe. So, all right. So, the bottom two are Temporary Butterfly and Stratopharius.
So beloved star, yes. You're safe.
Yes.
Okay, so the bottom two.
Yes.
This is weird. We're getting down to the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
I made it to the top four.
Yeah. Okay.
Temporary butterfly. Yeah. You had some issues with just getting overloaded with the characters, and I mean, you had great energy. You've definitely been improving. So there was that. Zane, any last?
First, I think you hit the nail on the head with her. With basically everything that you said was basically it was with the lack of character this week was really what kind of hurt you. But also the same rate too, Stratopharius, the reason why you're in here as well is because the story choice you picked, it wasn't that good. It dragged on for ages. Yeah.
Just the content, and I think I really want to be clear with this. I feel like you've kind of lost your way a bit in this competition, and it does happen. This just wasn't a story; it was a rant, a very long rant about a typical Pokemon episode and all the stereotypes that happen in it. I would have liked to see something more fan fiction-y. And I think that's something maybe we should have possibly clarified at the beginning. It's just because it's on a fan fiction website does not necessarily mean it's a fan fiction story.
Yeah.
And
but also it's also the fact too is that they have to choose whether or not they want to go with it or not. But that's the thing. It's like it's just story choice.
Even if you're discounting story choice. Even if we don't look at story choice, even if we just look past, it just
wasn't that good. It just felt one level majority of the time, and it just really wasn't.
Until you're trying, more than one level, but it never got there for me, and that is why this week's Stratovarius.
Yes,
you're going home.
Yes, oh my goodness, this is the first everybody on the show, man. This is the first. She's actually kicking somebody off.
Same. Yes.
Time.
But I want to thank you so much for being with us this season. You were really fun to listen to, and
yes,
it was really great seeing you and get to know you. I hope I see you more around. Temporary Butterfly, you're on for another week. For everybody who's made it through, congratulations again, Stratovarius. Sorry to see you go.
Yep.
Next week, the theme is yet to be announced. It will be announced whenever Artichoke picks it, or else it is My Little Pony. And
it better not be My Little Pony. I hope not. Artichoke, please submit something.
And so, with that,
welcome to the top three. Out of everybody who's auditioned, out of all the contestants, all
right, Zane.
You guys are the top three, so congratulations. Yes. What?
Anyway, good night, everybody.
Yes. Nighty night and sleep tight. Don't forget the Pokemon bed bugs don't bite.
There are no bed bug Pokemon.
All right, fine. The Pokebugs don't bite. Fine. Or the Caterpies. Or the Weedles.
Well, Zane, stop.
All right, I'm going.